Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to be ministering today on part two of the message that I started a couple of weeks ago on the favor magnets. And I shared the first favor magnet last time. And I want to go back to Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm just going to read again from verse 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. And it says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Verse 4. And so, say so. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. And we talked about mercy 2 weeks ago. If we go back to verse 3, this verse is basically saying that if we will become those that practice mercy and truth, if we will be those who will allow mercy and truth to overflow from our lives, then we are going to experience favor, verse 4, and high esteem. You know, there is not a single one of us that doesn't need favor. You know, even honestly, what is it with you all? All this 22 men chasing around a leather ball around a field. And all the noise. And I was hearing that one of these guys, have you noticed? I don't know where Yemi is, but every time he's on Facebook, it's just football, 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 football. Football, where are you, Yemi? There you are. Isn't it true? That's all you talk about on there. Oh, yeah, I noticed you're not on there anymore. Yeah, you've gone quiet suddenly. What is it, 19th? He's about to leave the room, I can see. I mean, he's a strong guy, I better be quiet. But you know, really, even in stuff like football, 22 men running around a field after a leather ball, you know, favor is key. I mean, that man was getting all upset and blaming on referee decisions, and I was thinking, is my husband ever going to come to bed? You know what it's like. And but you see, whatever we do, if we find favor, say favor, we will find promotion. We will find open doors. We will experience success. Favor is literally a game changer. And if favor wasn't enough, high esteem. Oh my goodness, that's a step up. That's saying that you're someone that's going to be set apart from the rest. So I really want to encourage you today to open your heart. Open your heart to God's word. And even right now, you see, if you want to really see your life go from glory to glory, if you want to see new doors open, if you want to see promotion and success, then we need to understand what the word is teaching us. So once again, just shut your eyes and put your hand on your heart. And just say, Heavenly Father, reveal the truth to me. Show me what needs to change. Open my eyes. Open my ears. And let me see the truth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So we're going to be talking today, and it nicely follows on from Tim's message last week, but we're going to be talking today about truth. The second favor magnet. You know, if you can become someone who walks in a pathway of truth, who lives a life of truth, you are going to see doors open. You are going to see an esteem that is not natural, but is supernatural. You're going to see things change in your life. And, you know, the interesting thing about truth is that the Bible says, you know, when Moses asked God, reveal yourself to me. And he revealed himself in Exodus 34. And God described his very nature. He said, I am abounding in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And one of the Holy Spirit's name is the Spirit of truth. Can you see a pattern here? So I want you to realize one thing just before we get get into some specifics in God's word is that if I resist the truth, I'm resisting the Holy Spirit. If I resist the pathway to truth, I'm basically saying I want to do this on my own. Because truth is God's way. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Say truth. Truth. Hallelujah. You know, I believe that truth basically opens the door for transformation. Amen. And let me tell you why. You see, there can be no change when there's no knowledge of a need of change. If I think I'm fine the way I am, then I'm not going to go through the pain and the price to change. Is that true? Yeah? So you see, truth opens the door to transformation, and transformation creates a platform for promotion. Shall I say that again? Truth opens the door to transformation, and transformation creates a platform for promotion, amen, for success. You see, so if I won't face the truth, if I shy away from the truth, then what I'm doing is I'm not only in some way shying away from God himself. Turn to your neighbor and go, eek. Now you all sound like mice. But I'm also postponing my promotion. Do you hear that? Truth will lead to your promotion. It's a Bible principle. You know, God said in his word, in fact, David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote of God, you desire truth in the inner man. You know, and this is David recognizing the heart of God. And we'll come back to when David said that in a little while. But you see, this is David understanding the heart of God and saying, Father, it's so important to you that I become someone who speaks the truth, who believes the truth, who acknowledges the truth. And in Psalm 15, we have that amazing passage which says, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? You know, in other words, who does God want to have around him? Are you hearing me? Who does God want to draw close to himself? Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? And it talks about the man who speaks truth in his heart. This isn't just about lying or not lying. This is about how prepared am I on the inside to really engage with the truth. You know, there's an excellent movie. In fact, Nick reminded me of it. Life Changers. But there's an excellent movie. One day, go watch it. Called A Few Good Men. Absolutely phenomenal film. Jack Nicholson at his best. And there's a time in that movie where he's in the middle of this phenomenal performance and gets provoked into telling the truth. But the truth for him is him basically making a statement like this. He says, you can't handle the truth. Now, I want to encourage you to become someone who says, I can handle the truth. Why don't you right now just lift up your hand and say, I can handle the truth. I can handle the truth. Hallelujah. We've got to become those who choose truth. Hallelujah. I want us to look today, because I was praying about this, and I want us to look today, not at the Bee Gees. What's one of their best songs? I couldn't even remember any of their songs. Row Row's saying, no, don't go there. She's protecting me. Yeah, and then my son's just looking, phew. But we're not going to look at the Bee Gees this morning. We're going to look at the 3 G's. Say 3 G's. And these are just examples. Because I prayed and I said, Lord, you see, we all think that we walk in the truth, don't we? We all think that we can handle the truth and that we're following the truth. But it's only when we get faced with real life examples of what it really means to face the truth and to be in the truth that we find out whether or not that's really the road we're going. And I prayed and I asked God to show me just some examples of really common areas where if we're not careful, we walk in lies. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful above all things. which means that daily I've got to make a decision for truth. Daily I've got to be aware that the enemy is going to try and pull me in that direction. And so there are three G's that I want us to look at. And I call Godfrey Mr. G, but he's not one of them. But there are three G's I want us to look at. And you see, I saw some great acting skills when we had Bishop Swilly here. So I want to call upon three people who just acted brilliantly. You don't have to act particularly for me, but if I can have Janita Kamau and Benj. I didn't even know Benj was going to be here, and I was thinking, who can I have instead? But Janita Kamau and Benj. So, thank you. Kamau, let's bring you to the middle, and then everyone can see. Kamau in the middle, that's how we'll do it, yeah. So I'm going to introduce you to three particular G's that oppose the truth in our lives on a regular basis, and G's that we really need to deal with. And I'm going to start with this G. Now, Janita, I see I need a little bit of acting from you. You got it. Let me tell you, Grump, let me explain what I mean by this. You see, have you ever found yourself thinking it's just not fair? Why do things always go wrong for me? Why is it always, you know, things never go the right way for me? It always works out for her. She seems to find things just fall on her lap. Anyone ever thought these thoughts? Come on, let's have some truth in the room. Amen. Truth leads to favor. It's not fair. You know, I'm just fed up. You know a classic one in these days. Do you know, we measure success differently today than we did 10 years ago. Isn't that right? We suddenly have this new measure of success, and it's called likes. How many likes? You know, and it was so funny. You know, I mean, she's not here, so I can tell this story, but my daughter, do you know, she has activated Instagram accounts for my husband and myself, and she goes onto our Instagram accounts and likes her own pictures. Oh, and then I'm hearing from Pastor Temi, lots of people do that. Oh, you mean it happens in your family too? Right. And the other day, Abby was saying to me, she said, oh, you know, she was talking about how many likes each of her pictures had. You know, and then she said, Mummy, the most liked picture I have is one of you and me. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and I'm observing all this because, you see, we associate strange things these days with success. But, you know, even the other day I was on Facebook and I was looking at Twitter, and I've been trying to get my head around this whole social media, what feels to me like maze. And just, oh my goodness, you know, how do we get a message out? How do we reach people? You know, and then I came across one of the ministries that I love so much. And I looked down, and this happened to be Twitter, and or it may have been Instagram, I don't know. And I looked down, and she had like 3,500 likes for this thing she'd just put up. And I went, oh. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, be real. I just said, oh my goodness, how are we ever going to get this message out? It's not fair. It's too difficult. You see, let me tell you something. The Bible is the truth. Every time you or I say, it's not fair, it's harder for me. You know, my situation is worse than anyone else's. Are you listening to me? My circumstances are more difficult. My story is harder than anyone else's story. My journey, any of those times we say those things, for number one, it's self-pity. Now, the great thing about calling a spade, the great thing about saying what it is that, put up your hand high if you would like to be known as somebody who's full of self-pity. Right. It helps, doesn't it? If I realize that's just self-pity. Now, that's the first thing that's wrong with all that. It's not fair. It's so hard for me. I've got a difficult lot. Oh, my goodness, my struggle's been longer than anyone else's. I've been waiting too long. Well, you know, when you get to heaven, chat to Abraham about 25 years of waiting. And wait for it, only 5 prophetic words over 25 years. You read your Bible. 5 times he got reassured the baby's coming. 25 years. You speak to Joseph when you think that your lot's worse than anyone else's. Amen. Amen. So not only is it self-pity, say truth. Say, I can handle the truth. But it's also a lie. Say, ouch. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, and if you can put it up in the New Living Translation, please. But it says, I'm going to say it in the NIV. It says, no temptation is common to man. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Temptation, it's the same word for testing. No trial or difficulty you've gone through is anything other than common. Are you hearing me? Just say right now, speak to your own discouragement and say, I'm not the only one. Loads of others have gone through worse. Say it. Do you see what we try and do is we justify being in a grump. Are you still looking grumpy? We justify, you know, slipping into terrible depths of discouragement because we're harboring self-pity and we're not believing. Look at this. I love this in the New Living. The temptations in your life, the testings, the fiery trials, the struggles are no different from what others experience. You know, you are unique in terms of who you are. Say, I'm unique. You are unique in terms of the God-given talents and gifts on the inside of you. Say, I'm unique. But what you're going through is just like what hundreds and thousands and possibly even millions have gone through before and come out the other side. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if we can make a choice, I am not going to allow self-pity. Let me tell you, you know, we all look, I heard this analogy recently. We all look at everyone else's stage. In other words, a stage is where you have a performance. Now, performances are great. The stage is the public. You do not see anyone else's backstage. Are you hearing me? You're looking at the front stage, and let me tell you something else, that if someone else has succeeded, they've paid a price. If someone else is out the other side of a struggle, it's because they paid a price. It's because they continued. They were determined, and they wouldn't let go. Are you hearing me? Do you know, we never get freedom by just dipping our head into the sand and hoping it will all go away. Right. You know, one of the things when I've seen areas in my life, in my family, where I've seen areas where I know I really need help, I don't just ask God to help me. You know, however much asking someone else to help me might make me feel small or silly or stupid, I care more about the eternal outcome. Say the eternal outcome. I care more about fulfilling my destiny than I do about it all seeming to be together. Say truth. 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 God wants you and I to walk in truth. He wants us to seek the outcome so much that we're not willing to stay in that place of just pretending always is well when it isn't. Roro, if I can just have, I want to move on to a second G. This is your crutch. You see, yeah, and this is why I chose them. I knew we'd have some great acting here. But what are you saying?
I'm fine.
A bit more confident.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
You see, it's another area where so often what we're doing, and it's often a subtle thing, You know, we just take this posture of, I'm fine. It's all well, all good. You know, I can make it. Marriage is fine. Someone comes and asks, how are things at home? Yeah, all great, wonderful. Marriage is hunky-dory. You know, how are you doing? Oh, fantastic. Yeah, it's all good, all wonderful. But you see, the problem is that the Bible says that the heart of man is deep. It says the inner thought and heart of man is deep. You know, and from the outside, say outside. So often others can look on and they can see. They can see the crutch. We just don't even know it's there ourselves often. They can see that, you see, the way I think about these things is, and you've heard me probably share this scripture many times before, but if all is well, then why am I like this? It's from the book of Genesis. In other words, you know, whatever those all is well might be, if all is well, then why am I struggling so much in certain areas? If all is well, then why do I lack confidence? If all is well, then why do I want to keep my life a seriously closed book? If all is well, then why do I have difficulty trusting people? If all is well, you see, so often the Spirit of truth is wanting to do a work in our hearts because, you see, our hearts are what determines the course of our lives. Amen? Amen? It says in Proverbs 3 that your heart determines the course of your life. And so it's a really big problem if I'm trying to deny the truth about the condition of my heart. If I'm saying, oh, it's fine, yeah. Oh, it's all well, all good, all fine, when really it isn't. Because I'm going to be limping my way through life. And I'm going to get to the pearly gates. And Peter is going to say, what a pity. We all say that Peter opens the pearly gates. I don't think he really does. You know, but we're just going with the kind of, you know, the fairy tale for the moment, okay? You know, and he's gonna meet you. And he's going to say, the crutch. You throw it away now, but you could have thrown it away on earth. You could have walked strong every single day of your life if you just allowed me to deal with the things on the inside. You know, God wants us to deal with stuff. He doesn't want us to put up these masks and these bravados. He wants us to allow the Holy Spirit to do a deep work. He wants us to become whole, to grow. Now, let's remember where we started in the book of Proverbs 3, where the Bible says, you see, that truth opens the door for us. Truth leads to favor. Truth leads to so many things in our lives. So many opportunities. But there has to be that place where we say, I'm not going to hide all this anymore. I'm no longer going to run away from these difficult things. Now, guilt. This is a good one. Now, please point your finger. You see, he says, I'm pointing it straight at the camera. This is a TV savvy guy. You know, this is such a good one. I don't mean guilt about the big things necessarily. I just mean when something on the inside is pointed out on the inside of me. You know, I mean those moments, and the big one at the beginning for me, I mean, oh my goodness, how many married ladies in the house wave at me? Now, how many, and this isn't a comment about your husband, but just keep waving at me, how many love it when your husbands really communicate with you, really talk, really tell you what's going on the inside? Yeah? Because women are, on the whole, it's not, you know, watertight, but women are communicators often. You know, like you put women in a room together, we don't need football to know what to talk about. We can talk anyway. You know, guys, the minute they all get together, you know, it's this kind of bravado thing. You know, and suddenly they're kind of like, you know, and they're all talking about the match. Like, find something else to talk about. I'm joking. Enjoy yourself. But you see, I remember a really monumental time in my life because I remember we'd been married about 10 years. And I remember just saying to my husband again and again, you just don't talk. You don't tell me what's going on. You don't tell me how you feel. How many men? No, don't. But I'd be like, I want you to talk to me. Say the truth. You see, we're very good at being able to see the issues in others. Amen. You know, and so I remember when I eventually said, Paolo, please, will you talk? Will you tell me? And he said, the problem is, Joe, he said, every time I try and talk, you cry. And I remember wanting to cry. And he said, so the minute I try and talk and tell you, well, I'm really fed up of this, or why does this happen? He said, every time I tell you the truth, you cry. So I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness, don't cry. You know, this one, I may have been thick-skinned in this area at the time, but this one I got. If I cry right now, I'm in big trouble, and this man is about to zip up his lips for another 10 years. Women, are you listening? And so... It's the harvest heckler. He is my chief heckler whenever I preach. Yeah, we always have a quick chat beforehand and a gram joking. So here you have it, you see. My husband's now saying, I would talk. But you just turn it all around every single time to poor me. And I remember sitting there. I remember exactly where I was, sitting in the bed. I'm wanting to say, it's not fair. Wanting to say, you're just mean. When I say I want you to talk, what I want you really to talk about is how lovely I am. You see, what I really want you to say is, Joe, I just want us to spend more time together. I want to hear you say, oh, Joe, I was just thinking, I just want to take you on more holidays, you know. I said I want you to talk. I didn't really want to hear him talk. Are you hearing me? Now let's get back to Jack Nicholson. You see, what my husband was really saying to me is, you can't handle the truth. Are you hearing? You see, what do? Someone comes up and points something out, and we're so quick to deflect. You know, the reason we do these things, grief, the reason that people deny the truth is it hurts. You know, really big pain hurts, and even with grief cycles of actually when someone's died, there's part of the cycle is the shock where you're in complete disbelief. And you know, the body needs it to just cope. And so there's something on the inside of you that for a season occasionally has to be distanced from the truth because it's hard to deal with it. But if you never face the fact that when you were six, your dad's departure has left this huge gap on the inside, if you never face the fact that you have felt just torn apart by someone's words, if you never face the reality of the wounds you're still carrying, then you're going to be continuing through life with a crutch. And you may pray all you like for promotion. You may pray and pray for God to raise you up, to give you favor. But others see the crutch. That's not discrimination. That's just wisdom. If I'm going to take someone up some stairs, I want someone that's able-bodied. Are you hearing me? And why do we do it with guilt? Because it hurts. You remember what it says in Proverbs 23:23? Buy the truth and do not sell it. There's a price to the truth. It hurts to acknowledge certain things about ourselves. You're harsh. I remember the first time somebody confronted me with that, I was like, what, me? I really, really couldn't. I mean, at first, I believed. You see, my mum has this very, very gentle personality. She's just, you know, always smiles, and she's gentle. And I just thought, I'm like my mum. I believed I was. Jessie's laughing. And I remember one day, I was managing at the time at the Prince's Trust. And one of the people who worked for me was saying, you know what, we're just, you know, I'm really glad that you're my boss. You know, we're, you know, there's a few of us talking and there's some really, you know, just like not pleasant people in this organisation. And we're really glad that, you know, we were all talking about it and I'm so glad you're my boss. And I just smiled and I went, yeah, I'm really gentle, aren't I? And I'll never forget this woman's face as she looked back at me. She just looked up and went, gentle? Maybe that's not the word that I would use. And then the day I discovered that my husband knew our receptionist's name and where she was going on holiday, and I didn't even know which one was the receptionist. Go, ouch. Are you ready for the truth? Are you ready to be confronted with the things on the inside that just have to change? Are you ready to be confronted with the issues in family life, in work life, that your promotion isn't being held back because of that stinking boss? Ouch. It's because of that stinking attitude. I remember when I first started work, and I used to wander around with this huge smile on my face from, you know, the moment I arrived at work until I went home. I was just so excited to have a job. I got a job in the middle of a recession. Half my friends didn't have jobs, come out of university and then they were unemployed. And I had a job and I was working in PR for this company in Manchester. And I was just so excited. And if I had to work late, I was even more excited because it meant that I was important and, you know, there was something to do. You know, and then suddenly kind of political correctness in the workplace set in and everyone's got an attitude instead. Isn't it true? You know, we need to be ready for the truth. Ready to face the truth, ready to hear the things that are difficult. You see, when I mess up, I can either say, well, it's not my fault. Let me tell you one yesterday. Just, you can point the finger at me and just say, you're work in progress. Go on. And my son is saying it louder than anyone else. Yesterday, right, my husband, we just bought a new tumble dryer. And Roro's laughing. We just bought a new tumble dryer because our other one has just broken down 100 times. And so my husband said to me, the new tumble dryer is ready for you to use. I went, great, excellent. Took out the wash from the washing machine, went straight to the dryer, stuffed everything in, shut the door, pressed the time, you know, pressed on, and then went running upstairs to go into the presence of the Lord and pray and prepare for today, you know. You got the picture, yes. And then I came back down later and my husband looked at me. He said, did you check the tumble dryer before you put the clothes in? Now, by this point, I'd actually started emptying the tumble dryer. Say, uh-oh. And he said, did you read the instructions before you opened the tumble dryer? Now, at that point, I was pulling the instructions out of the tumble dryer. Jeans, jumpers, instructions, in plastic packaging. Sarah's looking at me. And not only that, it was then, you know, I you know, my husband said, you put it on the wrong setting. I'm looking at him thinking, it really wasn't the setting. You know. And not only that, I'm then pulling out a tube. There was this, like, connector. I pulled out washers, you know, the things that... I mean, you have no idea what I pulled out of that washing machine. But, of course, my husband told me it was ready to use. It's his fault. Are you hearing me? And you know, he said, you put it on the wrong setting. He said there was smoke coming out, and I thought, thank the Lord he didn't know that it wasn't the setting. Let me tell you one way of you working out how good you are at accepting the truth. Do you want to know one way? How many times do you say sorry to your wife? Oh, it suddenly went quiet. Now let's start on the front row, shall we? How many times do you say sorry? You see, really, it's in the simple things that we discover how good we are. You know, I remember when we went through a battle in one period with our daughter when she was going through a stage. How many of you know what I'm talking about? A phase, right? And I remember she just went through this real kind of insolent phase in her life. I can't remember exactly what age she was. It was while she was in primary school, maybe about 8. And at first I didn't know what to do with it because we were trying everything. We were like, you know, don't you dare. I am the mother here. Be quiet. And she would go, well, I'm the daughter here. And I was like, and it would just, she was coming back at me. And she was, you know, she was too old really by this point to pull out a wooden spoon. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with this because she was just yelling back. You know, and I remember thinking, how are we going to deal with this? But very quickly, I can't remember if it was my husband or I who had the idea, probably my husband. You see, what mattered to her, she's really good with money. And so we started this thing where if she answered back, £2 fine. And she'd go, how dare you, £4 fine. That's terrible, £8 fine. And we carried on. Do you know what happened? Within about 2 weeks, it was broken. Now, say now. One thing about my daughter, she still makes mistakes, but she's so quick to say sorry. She's so quick when I challenge her to go, I'm really sorry, Mummy. Now we've got to work on whether she then changes. Nudge your neighbour and say, we need to say sorry and change. Oh, wow. I don't know what's going on here. But God bless. You see, every one of us at some point is going to struggle with self-pity. Every one of us at some point is going to want to say, it's not fair, my life's worse than yours. It's time to take off your attitude and instead to say, you know what? My lot's no different. And instead, replace the grump with some gratitude. Amen? You know, with the grief, it's time to say, do you know what? Yes, I've never faced those things. Yes, I still struggle in this area. I need help. Are you hearing me? You see, all we've got to do is reach that point where we're willing to face the truth. Do you know what? You might be right. You know, even if you think what they're pointing out in your life is wrong. You know, the Bible says that every man thinks he's right. So you believe you're right. But the Bible also says that we're all deceived. Amen? So you see, it's time to say, do you know what? You're probably right. And I'm probably wrong. Let me tell you about... Now we're talking about the small things, because the small things, it's the small foxes that spoil the vine. But let me give you an example on this whole thing of where I mess up. Listen, messing up isn't a problem. Covering up is a problem. Can I say that again? Messing up is not a problem. Covering the mess is a problem. What did David do? Nathan the prophet, who he could have had killed, spoken to his life and said, you're the murderer. You're the adulterer. And David said, oh my God, I'm a sinner. I have messed up. Samuel the prophet said to Saul, you messed up. You sacrificed when you shouldn't have sacrificed. And what did Saul say? It was the people. It's not my fault. It's theirs. Put your hands together for the three G's.